It's Friday. Let's get your weekend started with the Shoot Around Podcast. Brittany Jones, Jason Collins, and Kevin Walker discuss basketball. From college to the NBA and everything in between, these hosts take their shots right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio, Fridays at 7 p.m.
Down, we're gonna all turn the heck up today because it's what it's Friday, and you guys are listening to and watching the Shoot Around with myself, Brittany Jones, alongside Jason Collins and Kevin Walker, right here on the best network ever. That's right, Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. What's going on, K Walk and Jay?
All is well, all is well. Lovely Friday, and looking forward to a great one, guys.
Yeah, everything's good. Everything's great. I'm feeling good. And Britt, I got to say, our Eagles got it done in week one, so I'm feeling real good about that. So everything's great over here.
Lord have mercy, man.
Oh, wait. So I was going to get into some show stuff real fast, but some future show things. But before I get there, so Jay, I just want to make clear, are you now pledging your allegiance back to your childhood team, the Eagles? We need to hear this loud and clear.
I have to, Britt. I tried the Cowboy thing. It just didn't feel right. I mean, the whole time I was talking about the Cowboys, it just didn't feel right. I had to go back to my childhood team. And once you and K-Walk gave me that stamp of approval and said, go ahead, Jay, you get a one-time transfer, I jumped on it. I'm an Eagle now. Fly, Eagles, fly.
I mean, I'm not mad at it. What about you, K-Walk?
I don't know. Jay just sounded like an attorney who knows. He just absolutely knows his client is guilty, and he just wanted to cop a plea and get up out of there. That's what it sounded like to me. But I'm cool with it, man. Hey, you know. Good.
I'm going to say Jay is this. I felt bad for you. That's why I left the window open, because we know how the Dallas goes. Every year it's the same old storyline. It's something is bound to happen, and it has happened again, but this time early in the season. So that's why we gave you a second chance. But I could tell, I don't know what's going on, Jay, because you must have forgot. Must have forgot. But welcome back. Welcome back. We proud to have you back.
I'm happy to be back.
Hey, Jay, I was hoping you would go with the Giants just to make it a clean sweep. Because you rooted for everyone in the NFC East other than the Giants. So I was hoping you would make it a clean sweep. But I'm cool
hey,
with it.
Hey, K-Walk, when Saquon balled out on Sunday, I thought about it for a minute. But
there you go.
But all right, guys, before we get into, you know, what we have to talk about today, I want to make an announcement. We are making some changes to the show, and we are excited. We're changing our name, and we're going to change. What we want to do is we want to talk about all sports. So if you love baseball, tennis, whatever it may be, that will be coming soon. We are going to talk about it on this show because why? We know sports. We all know sports. That's what it is. So we're excited about that.
Go.
Look out for that. That's
Indeed.
Coming real, real soon. But
Indeed.
You guys, in the meantime, it's still football takes over the Shoot Around. You guys ready to talk about some football?
Let's do it. Let's get it on.
Let's do it. All right, guys. So for my first question, because this has been bothering me a lot, because I see a lot of fans getting down. I see media being tough on players and on teams, and it's kind of irritating me. And you two play football, so you guys are football guys, right? Do you believe in week one? It's only week one. Do you believe week one games show us a lot about teams? And do you think it's an extension of preseason that counts? K-Walk, you want to take this first?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence with this, man. My motto is, you know, never get too high, never get too low, for sure. Because you know you're going to see, you just don't know what you're going to get with a week one. Week one could go either way. It could go either way. You kind of mentioned it on your show last night with She Knows Sports with you and Princess Cooper, and that, you know, it's kind of an extension of the preseason, because a lot of these guys don't play in the preseason for the most part. Especially with an abbreviated preseason that we're used to seeing. You know, we're used to seeing a four-game, you know, preseason, and a lot of the guys play there. But in the past few years, we haven't seen that. So I would say, to answer the question, I would say I wouldn't take too much out of it. I think you start to see second week, the third week, especially from the quarterback standpoint. I guess I'm kind of talking about my 49ers subliminally, but yeah, from a quarterback standpoint, and in certain positions on the team, you have to look at it and say, okay, all right, let's see what they do week two, week three. Then week four, I think you're going to get an idea or the identity of that particular team and what you can expect, especially if they make the same mistake over and over again, or if they continue to execute the same way that they've been executing, whatever the case may be. If they continue to do the same thing over and over again, then you can expect to see that particular team throughout the season.
What about you, Jay? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm kind of like Kay Walk on this one. I don't know that it tells a lot, but I do think we can take some things from week one, depending on the team. Like, for example, Pittsburgh, we saw them beat Cincinnati. To me, that's going to be their identity, a tough, hard-nosed football team that plays hard all four quarters. I think we can tell that about them all year. Dallas, I think we learned a lot about Dallas. Not even the fact that they got beat. I was surprised at how much they got bullied in that football game, that they just weren't physically tough. I think that's going to be their identity all year long. But like K-Walk's 49ers, I don't take too much in that. Yeah, it's a surprise that they lost to Chicago, but I don't think that's going to tell the story of the 49ers over 17 weeks. So I really think it depends on the team, but there's a couple of teams that I feel like, okay, that's exactly who they are, and then there's other teams who just didn't perform great in week one.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with you guys. Like K-Rock said, you can't get too low after one game, week one. You know, like you guys said, a lot of these teams didn't play their starters in preseason, so now they're trying to catch up. You know, the offensive line, for instance, my Philadelphia Eagles, you know, they have to play in order to really build that chemistry, that continuity together. They have to play. So the first time they're really playing is in week one. So that's why, you know, it looks like the Lions defensive line, although that is a much better defensive line, but it looks like they look so great because the Eagles hasn't been playing their starters like that. So just be patient. All the fans out there, all the media people getting down on the teams, because, you know, guys, I'm in the South Jersey, Philadelphia area, and you know how the Philadelphia media can be. They are some of the most harsh media around, between them, New York, and Boston. The worst to be around. It's tough. But you can't get too high. And then you have to take into account emotions. You know, as players are just coming back, they're excited, they're nervous, all of these emotions in one. So to me, I think we will really know team's identity by week four, week five. I know that seems a little long, but I think that's when teams will really start to understand their systems and so forth, build that chemistry that's needed and things like that. So let's just all take a what? A chill pill. Remember
yeah,
that time
hey, Britt.
As a kid? Just chill out.
Yeah. Hey, Britt, and you know what I did, and this is the first time I've done it, I think, in ever. I've never watched – I didn't watch SportsCenter all week. I didn't watch Stephen A. I didn't watch any sport. I said, you know what? I'm in the media. I watched every single game last week, every single game. I said, you know what? I assessed every single game, and I looked at every single team. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be my own media guy. I'm going to be my own analyst. I'm going to be my own Monday morning quarterback. You know, I'm going to do everything on my own. I'm not going to listen to anybody, and I'm going to do my own assessment. So that's the first time I've done it, liked it, and I think I'm going to continue to do that.
Yeah, K-Walk, I like that. And, Britt, I think you made a good point, too, about the defense, because we know the defense is always ahead of the offense. So
yeah,
if you're
a
team that where your offense is your strength, It might take you a week or two or three to catch up to these defenses that are already in the groove, ready to play, just running around, flying to the football, things like that. So that's why I do like the point, hey, don't overreact, because it takes a little while for the offense to catch up.
Exactly. So, because you can't tell me the Bears is better than the 49ers. You can't. No, it's week one. You can't even tell me the Seahawks is better than the Broncos. I mean, they look good. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it's week
right.
one. Come on. Geno Smith being better than Russell Wilson. Are you out of your mind? So, everybody,
right.
I'm going to say it again. Let's all take a chill pill and just relax. Just relax. All right, guys. All right, so. Now with everything going on with the Dallas Cowboys, oh boy, the Giants, the Eagles, I want to get into the NFC East. What are your thoughts on the NFC East? After only week one, maybe there could be a team that surprised you in the NFC East. What are your thoughts about it? Jay, I'm going to come to you first.
To me, honestly, my thoughts were a lot of surprises. Like, to me, the NFC East felt like a weekend of surprises. I did not expect Dallas to look as bad as they looked. I knew they were going to have some challenges offensively, but like I said earlier, it looked like they were just getting bullied, that they were just getting pushed around and had absolutely no answer for what was happening to them. So to me, that looks like a long-term problem. So that was surprising. Another surprise, the Giants. Saquon Barkley, he's made his return. He looked like the kid that came out of Penn State. So it was a surprise that the Giants played as well as they did. So, you know, that was huge. And then, of course, our Eagles, Britt, you know, didn't look great, but did enough to get the win. So, you know, coming into this thing, I kind of felt like, oh, the NFC East. But this actually might be a really fun division once this thing gets rolling.
Jay, it's taking me a minute to get used to you saying our Eagles.
I know, right? And it's only been about 3 months.
I'm keep saying it.
So I gotta get used to it. I appreciate it, but you know, it's still working in my system here. But no, you know, I agree. It was a lot of surprises. I figured the Commanders would beat the Jaguars. I hope they would beat the Jaguars. Carson Wentz, he better have beat the Jaguars after the showing that he put out last year when he was with the Colts.
Yeah.
He got embarrassed by them, although he still struggled. I think he had about two interceptions as well. The Giants is the one team that shocked me, although I don't believe Tennessee is what it was in years past. I think they took a hit when they lost A.J. Brown, let's be honest. A.J. Brown was an important piece to that offense. You know, I know Derrick Henry is the prime Treylon Burks. This is exactly why you don't give up your number one receiver like that. But Saquon Barkley is back. If he can stay healthy, this is what you're saying, Jay. If he can stay healthy, to me, he is the best running back in the league by far. Oh, between him and Derrick Henry. I almost forgot about Derrick Henry. Between those two. Those are the two best running backs in the league by far. Who am I getting? Cowboys? Are we really surprised? Let's be honest. We're not surprised at all. Are we surprised? Like, really? Like, look, they took a hit on the offensive line. They no longer have Cedric Wilson. They no longer have Amari Cooper. Michael Parsons clearly is their best player. I'm not even sure if their secondary is what it's going to be, because I think Trayvon Diggs, as much as I like him, I always thought he was an overrated cornerback. You can hate me if you want to. I'm just speaking facts here. I really do. He gets burnt too much. And then the Eagles. I think the Eagles, to me, right now are the best team in the division as of right now. They still have some things to work on, especially on the defense. They have to get back into game shape, because I know we'll talk about it a little later, but they allowed that fatigue to hit them big time in that second half. But I think right now it's the Eagles' division to lose. K-Walk, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll start right where you left off there, Britt, and that's, I think it's the Eagles' division to lose for sure. I said that coming in, and then I'll continue to say that. I just don't see anything, you know, nothing in week one showed me anything differently. I just a little leery about their defense, though, in the secondary there, for sure. But they did have that pick six, which ultimately solidified the game for them. But they did play against a hungry Lions team, and the Lions team are not going to lay down for you or lie down for you. For sure. But I do like them. As far as the Commanders go, They had the Jaguars, so I don't know, you know, how much you could take out of that. I think you could put the Jaguars down there, you know, as far as the worst teams in the league. The Giants, big win there. I mean, big win, unexpected win, a surprising win, especially here in New York, because a lot of people were down, and New York fans were down, Giants fans were down on these guys, and when Tennessee missed that field goal, all of a sudden we're 1-0, baby, we're 1-0. You know, we're in the first place in the league in the division. So, you know, it switches tremendously, man, quickly. And as far as the Cowboys go, we expected this. I really didn't expect. I actually picked the Cowboys to win that game, but I didn't expect Dallas to go out, you know, go down, you know, Dak Prescott, excuse me, to go down with that that injury. Defense, wow, yeah, Diggs was exposed. He's exposed. He's susceptible to double moves. I know he had 11 interceptions last season, but that's a lot of gambling. And if you just get him, you know, get him looking in the backfield, you can beat him downfield every single time. So overall, I just think that we're going to see an interesting division. But I think it's the Eagles' division to lose.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be an interesting division. This is one division in football that's always tight with the rivals within the teams within this division. So it's going to be interesting. But guys, we got to head into our first break. When we come back, we're going to pick right up back with the Cowboys and review what we've seen with the Dallas and the Bucks, and hopefully we'll be able to get into the Eagles and Lions, and then talking about some predictions, some previews and predictions for games coming up soon. But you guys are listening to the Shoot Around with myself, Brittany Jones, alongside Jason Collins and Kevin Walker, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Hey guys, this is Jaquan J. Kelly, a.k.a. Jamel I. Reef, Master Killer of Wu-Tang and American Saga on Hulu. You're listening to The Shoot-Around with Brittany Jones, Jason Collins, and Kevin Walker. They're taking a break, and they'll be right back.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
Your skin isn't just skin. It's a beautiful reflection of every single thing you've been through in life. Which is why Dove Body Wash renews your skin's ceramides and strengthens it against dryness. For instantly softer, smoother skin you can lovingly embrace. Renew the love for your skin with Dove Body Wash.
Welcome back to the Shoot Around with myself, Brittany Jones, alongside Jason Collins and Kevin Walker, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. All right, guys, prior to the break, we got a little bit into the NFC East, and then we started talking about the Dallas. So I want to continue with the Dallas Cowboys. I want to continue with the Dallas Cowboys and kind of recap some of the things that you may have seen that worried you, that you thought were good, whatever it may have been, regarding Dallas versus Bucks game. So, Jay, I'm going to come to you. Tom, you did pledge allegiance to the Dallas Cowboys, but you got smart with it. You got smart, real smart with it real quick and switched over to a good team. But what are your thoughts?
Well, to me, it just looked like a talent deficiency. Offensive line, I know they got some guys injured, but a talent deficiency. Defensive line, I didn't love what I saw. We talked about Diggs and that secondary. Like, there's, other than Micah Parsons, who on that team it really moves the meter? I mean, you talk about Zeke and Pollard. I mean, did they really do anything to impress? So it just looked like a talent deficiency. We know they're hurting on the outside with dynamic playmakers. So they just honestly, if you look at them, they didn't look like a really good football team. And then to lose Dak for the next 4, 6, 8 weeks, however long that's going to be. I mean, it feels like the bottom is about to fall out in Dallas. So I just think Cowboys fans are in for a long year because that roster is just not NFL ready in terms of winning a lot of football games.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I'm not going to lie. Everybody knows I can't stand the Dallas Cowboys. But I would say I was mostly frustrated with Mike McCarthy. And the reason why was because your passing game wasn't it that day. You know, I know Zeke is not the player he used to be in years past, but he averaged about a little bit over 5 yards a carry. I think he had 10 carries for 52 yards. So you're averaging a little bit over, what is that, 5 yards or so a carry? So that means give him the ball, feed him the ball. So that means your running attack was working a little bit against this Bucs defense. So that's where I got really a little frustrated just from a football standpoint. I think also that didn't look great prior to the injury. He was making some throws. I was like, what is he doing? Throwing into double coverage at times. He just looked off. And don't get me wrong, the offensive line clearly wasn't what it was. And the crazy thing about this was the Bucs did not have their best game neither. You know, Tom Brady, some of his throws were a little off. But I will tell you one thing. Julio Jones, he looked like the old Julio, just slightly. He's still aging. You can tell when he hit the ground. I don't know if you guys noticed. When he hit that ground, he would be able to get up like, wait a minute. This don't feel the same anymore, but he's still fast because he's breaking down that those field with those vertical routes and caught a couple balls. So Julio is back, and that might be a good addition. But the Bucs need some help as well. So I just think Dallas, this might not be their year. But, you know, like we said, it's only week one. Things can happen in a hurry when it comes to football. And we've seen the impossible become possible. So you just never know. But, K-Walk, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, you guys pretty much hit on everything there. I just think I just want to add that this is kind of what we expected from the Cowboys coming going in, is that we didn't really see that much talent on the offensive side of the ball. You know, after CeeDee Lamb, you could put, you know, Schultz in there. You could put in Dalton Schultz, the tight end. You know, you have that 1-2 combination of Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. And then Dak, everything was a lot of the offense was going to rely on Dak and his productivity, and he wasn't able to do it even before that injury, and he just wasn't able to get those guys involved. I don't know if it was the play calling, I don't know if it was decision making based on Dak, but whatever it was, it just wasn't working. And you could just see that, you know, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers put them in a position to say, listen, Dak, go ahead and see if you can beat us, you know, downfield. Granted, you know that, you know, Schultz did all right. He played a decent game. They took CeeDee Lamb out for the most part, and then everyone else is like, okay, you know, you beat us. If you could beat us, then you deserve to win this game. Now you got to look at it from this standpoint. Like, what are they going to do at that quarterback position? Are they going to go with Cooper Rush? Are they going to bring in a quarterback? Are they going to bring in a Cam Newton? Are they going to trade for a Jimmy Garoppolo? Doesn't look like any of that's going to happen from what I'm hearing. They're going to stand pat right now and just let it all play out. You know, but they do need some help on, you know, especially on the offensive line. Don't know where they're going to find that from. And also with the receiving core as well. I know Cole Beasley is out there. He's fielding calls. He's just trying to find out where the best fit for him is. Cole, I'm going to make it easy for you, brother. Go to Dallas, man. That's the easiest place for you. You're going to get a lot of balls there for sure, and they can definitely use you in that slot. So other than that, man, I just don't see it being a really good season right now. They got Cincinnati coming up Sunday, and that's a tough road to hoe for sure, even with Dak under the helm. So good luck, Cowboy fans, for sure. Hey, Cowboys.
No, we don't wish them good luck, K-Wall. We ain't wishing them good luck.
Listen, I don't dislike him as much as you guys do, or Jay does this weekend.
Anyway. But guys, yeah, we'll see what happens. This is going to be interesting when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, because they are seem to be the most talked about team, whether they're winning or they're losing. I'm sorry, they're never winning. They haven't won in over 25 years, so I'm sorry. Even when they're losing,
crazy number.
I guess that was. But we got to get into the Thursday night football game, which was on Amazon Prime. If you guys were able to view it, thank goodness I have Amazon Prime. Because I couldn't find it at all on radio. I mean, on TV. But it was between the Chargers and the Chiefs. What were your thoughts on this game? How did you think about Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes? And did you like that it was on Amazon Prime? K-Walk, I'm coming to you first on this one.
Well, to answer your last question first, I'm good with it because I have Amazon Prime. But from what I'm seeing on the social media, a lot of people don't like it because they didn't have it. But it's going to turn out to be kind of like what Netflix was in the beginning. There's going to be a lot of account sharing, if you will. What's your username? What's your password? It's going to be a lot of that stuff. But I'm okay with it. I guess, like I said, because I have it, so that's neither here nor there for me. But I get it why people are frustrated with that particular call, especially on a prime time game. I don't get that. But as far as the game goes, I think the Chargers' game plan was right on, man. I think they wanted Patrick Mahomes to beat them, not deep. They don't have anyone to go deep. We said that Tyreek Hill, wasn't going to be the loss of Tyreek Hill wasn't going to be huge because of the fact of the matter he has so many weapons. Juju, he's got Kelsey, he's got Harden as well, and so it's going to give him a chance to spread the ball around as well, and also from Green Bay, Valdez. It gave him an opportunity to spread the ball around. I thought that was a good thing, but what I saw last night is that they had no one to really stretch the field. They had no one to get them safeties out of there. So those safeties were playing shorter than they normally did, closer to that line normally they would if Tyreek was there. So I thought it was a good game plan, but overall, that pick six that Justin Herbert threw right there in the end zone, pick six, 99 yards, 99 and a half, however you want to look at it, was ultimately the deciding factor in that game. But we mentioned it in the preseason, before the season started, that this was going to be one of those divisions that we can see this division being the best division in all of football, and it's going to be the most competitive. So I liked it, Justin Herbert. I know he went down. He was a trooper with that rib injury, man. I had that same injury three times, so I could definitely feel his pain. So, but he was a trooper. Mike Williams came out of nowhere. I mean, he stepped up when Keenan Allen went down. But overall, great game, and someone had to lose it, unfortunately. But great game overall, and I think we're going to see that type of competitiveness throughout the season with this particular division.
Yes, it was a very good game. It was a tight, close game, but honestly, to me, the Chargers should have won. It literally came down to that one interception, and I don't know if I can't remember the guy's name. I think it was Everett, Gerald Everett. I know I could see he was trying to get out of the game. He was calling to get out, but they were in a hurry up. Yeah, they were in a hurry up offense, so he couldn't sub himself out, and it just looked like he didn't put enough effort in that interception. He looked like he was leaning towards the outside. Herbert was like, no, throwing in towards the inside. And this is not the first time he did this play. I just think his fatigue took over. And the young rookie on the Chiefs, Jalen Watson, I believe is his name, went around him, intercepted the ball, took it back for a pick six. But if you look at the stats, everything would say that the Chargers should have won that game. The only bad was that one interception. I mean, they had total yards, time of possession, better percentage on third down and fourth down. Everything went the Chargers' way except for that one interception. But, Jay, what are you?
Yeah, look, as far as Amazon Prime, I'm cool with it because, like you guys, I have it as well. But I can understand why people would be upset, especially because it's such a good football game, right? So people that don't have it, you're just two really good teams playing. But – I get why Amazon wants the best games, but Britt, I'm kind of with you. To me, I felt like the Chargers should have won that football game, and had it not been for the pick six, I do think they get out of there with the win. But like you said, K-Walk, I just think this was two really good teams going up against each other, I think both of these teams are going to have great years. They're both going to make the playoffs.
Sure.
So that was kind of the story. But I was surprised. I mean, on the road, as well as the Chargers played, it's a game that they should have won. They got to be kicking themselves today because they probably feel like one got away. But you got to give credit to the Chiefs as well. They made the plays when it counted and got the win. But just two really good teams going up against each other.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and just to, because I didn't answer my own question, I actually didn't like that it was on Amazon Prime. I have Amazon Prime. I was able to watch it. But sometimes you just want to watch it on regular cable. You don't want to have to go switch over to a whole different streaming service just to watch something. And then the amount of people that were not able to watch it. I know they got a lot of subscribers just for that one game. Maybe even because I heard they're going to do it again this coming Thursday as well. But show it on TV. It's been on.
It's business.
Showing on TV. And you know what? I understand the business, K-Walk, but sometimes it's like, come on. Like, y'all doing too much.
That's
it was perfectly fine the way it was.
That's where they get all their money from, Britt. The TV money is where they get their money from. So you can't knock them. I can't knock them for it. I can't. I cannot.
I get it, but it's
maybe because
annoying.
I
it's
have
annoying.
It. Maybe because I'm a little biased because I do have it. Maybe that's what it is. But I get it, though.
And
I do get it.
And I'm speaking for all those who don't have it. I'm on
y'all's
side.
Okay,
although
there
I
you
do
go.
Have it. I was able to watch the game. But I'm speaking for those who don't have it. All right, guys, we're just going to take a couple more minutes, and then we got to throw things over to Jay so he could, you know, have his segment. But just a couple extra minutes. I just want to get in a couple games of previews and predictions real quick. I'm going to just say maybe two games, max. So the first one I think was a big one is the Buccaneers at the Saints. So Tom Brady down in New Orleans, baby. Is that what they say? New Orleans, baby. who y'all got? K-Walk, I'm going to come to you first.
All right. I do have the Saints winning this game, even though they we're not sure if Alvin Kamara is going to play. And also Mark Ingram is questionable as well. And I think there's the third string quarterback, a running back, is also hurt as well. Kamara's out with the or he's questionable with the rib injury. Godwin is out with the hamstring injury. But I'm still going to go with the Saints here in the dome. And I know that Tom Brady's 0-4 against the Saints since joining the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but I'm still going to take the Saints here, man. I know Tom Brady's due to end that streak. I just don't think it's going to be this week. So I'm going to go Saints here. I'm going to go Saints. Let me see what I have here. I have my list here. Hold on one sec. I got the Saints 26. I got Tampa Bay 23.
Okay. You know what? And it's funny because I think the Saints defense is nice. They have Marcus May. They got Marcus May in free agency. He's a good safety. I know they traded C.J. Gardner-Johnson over to the Eagles, but to me that just meant that they really trust their depth when it came to those positions, mainly in the slot. I love that Michael Thomas is back. I like Chris Olay. I can never say his last name, out of Ohio State. And Jameson Winston didn't play a bad first game. I just think it's the Bucs' time. I think it's the Bucs' time. I think this is Tom Brady's last year. He's frustrated. He's getting tired of losing to losing to the Saints. And don't get me wrong. I know the Saints' defensive line is a little bit more stronger than the Bucs' offensive line, so that's going to be interesting. But I think Tom Brady is smart enough to get rid of that ball fast. And the fact that they're healthy now with Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, and Leonard Fournette looked like the old Leonard Fournette, the way he was running against the Cowboys. So,
run over people.
And then yes, and the defense isn't that bad either. They still have Devin White, who I love, and Vita Vea, the nose tackle, big boy in the middle. So I'm going to go with the Bucs, not by much. I'm going to say 24-21 Bucs. Jay, who you got?
So this one's tough because I don't know how good the Bucs are. Yes, they beat the Cowboys, but I don't know how much credit I want to give to that win. And K-Walk mentioned Godwin with that hamstring. I think that's going to hurt not having him in the lineup. And Julio, as good as he looked the other night, he hasn't practiced all week. So he's up to the same old usual stuff of getting nicked up and banged up. So I don't know how healthy he's going to be this weekend. So I'm going to go with K-Walk here. I'm taking the Saints. They just have the Bucs number. I think they get out of there with a win. Give me 31-27. I got the Saints.
All right, guys. It's two Saints, one Bucks. Come on, Tom Brady. Don't let me down now. Don't let me down. I know you're New Orleans, but don't let me down. All right, one more, guys, and then we're going to head into break. I got to do the Monday Night Football. I was going to do the Cowboys, but I'm tired of talking about them. They get enough love. We're going to do Monday Night Football. Minnesota Vikings, come to my town. All right, I'm in South Jersey, but same difference. My town, the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia. So Vikings versus the Eagles. Who do you have running this game? Jay, I'm going to throw it to you first since you are newly touted Eagles fan.
Look, I think this could be a tough week to be an Eagles fan because the Vikings are better than a lot of people think. And I think winning at Green Bay in week one, I mean, I think they feel really good, have a lot of momentum. They're the kind of team that people overlook, but they play really good, sound, disciplined football. But I'm not picking against my Eagles. I mean, I'm brand new. I'm fresh on the bandwagon. I'm kind of sitting at the end. It'd be easy to piss me off if I say something crazy. So I'm definitely going with my Eagles in this one. Give me the Eagles 31-24.
Okay, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, I have the Vikings. I mean, I picked the Vikings to win the NFC North. I mean, because I just really think that they have everything that they need, especially from the offensive standpoint. Again, I think Kirk Cousins is a very underrated quarterback. And when you look at the Packers, the only team that I really think they can give them a run for their money in this division, don't really have, any weapons. We saw that, in week one. But the Eagles, man, they had a tough one against the Lions, and that they gave up. That defense looked kind of suspect. And when you're going against a team that has a Justin Jefferson, who's coming up, and he's making that run for the number one receiver in the league right now, because that guy is unbelievable. Way he runs routes, Devontae, he's coming for that number one spot. But plus you throw in Adam Thielen, you got Irv Smith Jr., you got Dalvin Cook. I like the Minnesota Vikings here, 27-23 here. Sorry, guys, but I just think the Vikings are on a mission right now to not only win the North, but to make a deep run in the playoffs as well.
I'm picking the Seahawks this week. Now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not picking the Seahawks. Are you crazy? No. I think these two teams are equally matched, and this is going to be a very good game. I think the first game with the Eagles kind of got away with them. I think they got a little fatigued, and then they took the gas off the pedal. You could kind of tell that a little bit. And then Jonathan Gannon, he stopped being aggressive. He started calling plays on the defensive side where the team wasn't as aggressive. That's why the Lions were able to make that comeback. Because if you look, we were up about 31-17. So at that point, what do most teams do, right? They tend to take the gas off, which we don't like as fans. But like you said, the Vikings is a good team. They got one of the best receivers, top two receivers in the NFL in Justin Jefferson. They still have Adam Thielen, like you said. And then looking on the defensive side, they still got Patrick Peterson. I know he's older, but he still gets it done.
Yeah.
They have the line. Yeah, they have Harrison, the safety Harrison. They have the linebacker Eric Kendricks. And they just got the one guy who was from the Packers, the linebacker from the Packers, LaDarius. I can't think of his name right now. It's not coming to me. But I think he was the linebacker. Za'Darius Smith. That's who it is. Za'Darius Smith, who used to kill it with the Packers. He's now with the Vikings. So, but I think my Eagles will get it together. I think you will see who we were supposed to be, how we were supposed to play in that first game, that run defense. They're not going to allow Dalvin Cook to run all over them. I'm going with my team, the Eagles, and I'm going 31-28. And a close one, I think it's going to come down to Jalen Hurts making a play in that fourth quarter. But, guys, we got to go to break now because, Jay, we got some more fun football for us to talk about. You guys are listening to The Shoot Around with myself, Brittany Jones, alongside Jason Collins and Kevin Walker, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
You're inside Never Had It So Good Sports Radio with Princess Cooper, Tim Moore, David the Duck Riley, Jason Collins, Shoshana Cook, Brittany Jones, Travis McGee, Eric Scott, and Kevin Walker. We make it easy to talk sports.
CampLineman.com is an opportunity for my big boys to come get some work. Let's put it all together. We built from the ground up. You know, our cliche is it all starts up front. Once again, start, stance, hand placement, hand separation, get off, counter moves, a little bit of everything. Polish up those skills before your middle school or high school season began. Just come work on your craft. Once again, CampLineman.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Shoot Around with Brittany Jones, Kevin Walker, and Jason Collins right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. And guys, like Britt mentioned at the top of the show, if you're enjoying the Shoot Around, if you like the content that we're putting out, stick with us. Over the next few weeks, this show's going to go through some changes. We're ready to take it to the next level, so stick around. You're going to get some really great sports talk from us in the next coming weeks. But all right, guys, let's keep this NFL talk going. We've talked about a lot of teams, but we haven't mentioned the Patriots. And this is a team that over the last decade has really dominated the NFL. Obviously, Tom Brady is no longer there. And to me, it feels like an organization that's in a little bit of disarray. But, Britt, I'm going to start with you here. Is the dynasty of New England, is it over? Are we finished seeing the Patriots hold up that trophy at the end of the year, or do you think they can get back on top over the next couple of years?
I think right now, yes, because the dynasty to me was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. It wasn't Mac Jones and Bill Belichick. Tom Brady, to me, technically Tom Brady was the dynasty all on his own. You can see when he went to Leicester, went to go to Tampa Bay, he won another one and could have won a second one in Tampa Bay. He probably should have won one or two more in Tampa Bay. So, yes, right now to me, yes. Now, I think when Mac Jones develops a little bit more, they need a little bit more explosive players on that team. So there are some players that they need to obtain before I can consider them a dynasty. And this is not to knock Bill Belichick, because I still think he's one of the most innovative coaches around. But I think once he gets those pieces, then maybe they can get close to what they used to have. They're never going to be to me what they were, because they don't no longer have Tom Brady. Tom Brady is one of a kind. We're not going to see that for a long time. But I think with Bill Belichick just there and how smart he is with his coaching strategies, I think they'll get close to it within the next, I'd give him about 3 or 4 years.
Okay. Okay. And K-Walk, Belichick, as you know, has gotten tons of credit for being one of the best guys to ever do it. But right now, no real offensive coordinator. They have a former defensive coordinator calling plays. The young QB, he feels frustrated. I mean, it just seems like they're out of sync right now. It certainly looks like Tom Brady sort of won the divorce, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah,
but,
Kayvon, sure.
If I said the Patriots aren't going to win another Super Bowl in the next decade, would you agree with that or disagree with that?
I would definitely agree with that, Jay, because one, like Brittany alluded to, you don't have time, and you as well, you don't have Tom Brady, and you kind of, you just mentioned it, and I kind of, that Tom Brady, you know, won a Super Bowl without Belichick, and before, you know, the divorce, if you will, to use your term, you know, it was, you know, was the Patriot dynasty more about Bill Belichick, or was it about Tom Brady? And I think that question has been answered. It's about Tom Brady. And right now, Bill Belichick is what, the oldest, second oldest head coach in the league right now. So his time is, his window is shutting, you know, real quick. You got Mac Jones there, and Jay, you mentioned there's no offensive coordinator there. Josh McDaniels, he's out in Las Vegas right now, you know, hearing those slots ring and those bells ring, because, you know, he realized that, you know, he hit the jackpot by leaving there. So with all that being said, yeah, the dynasty is definitely over. As far as the next 10 years, I don't see them winning the championship, Jay. At best, they'll win a division title, at best. And that a lot has to happen, because there's a lot of young guys in that division, as far as Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, the list goes on and on there. So, I mean, yeah, no, nah, definitely. I think we've seen the last of this dynasty for quite some time.
Yeah, it certainly feels like Buffalo's got that division on lock for the next few years. And Miami, I think they're going to be really good too. And Kate, well, you mentioned Belichick's age. I mean, like when you look at Pete Carroll, I think he's 70, but he feels young. Belichick, to me, looks like he's getting older every minute standing on that sideline. So I do think you got to wonder about longevity. I mean, how long is he even going to be there, right? So, all right, good stuff. Let's go from New England to the – yeah, go ahead, Britt.
Can I celebrate this moment at this time? Am I allowed to celebrate? Because I have gotten tired of the Patriots constantly going back and forth. So I'm going to take this moment, and I'm going to be happy, and I'm going to celebrate that we no longer have to say the Patriots are one of the top teams in the world. Thank goodness. All right, we can continue. I'm sorry. I had to
I'm with you, Britt. And I don't think any of us have them making the playoffs. I know Kay Walk and I don't have them. Did you have them in the playoffs, Britt? Yeah, I don't think any of us have them in the playoffs. All right, let's go from New England to the Bay. Maybe the most surprising game of the weekend, the Bears pull off the upset against the 49ers. Kay Walk, I didn't get to see a lot of this one. It just I was kind of doing a lot of flipping back and forth, trying to watch some stuff. What happened? What happened in San Francisco, man? Give me your assessment.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got to see the entire game, Jay. But no, all seriousness, I just think it was just that the 49ers just beat themselves, man. I mean, you're talking 12. Jay, you and I talked about this. You're talking about 12 penalties for 95 yards. I mean, in the first half, they dominated it. It was 10-0 at one point. I'm not going to put it on the conditions. I'm not going to make an excuse or make that even a reason for why, you know, what it was, the factor or the outcome of the game, what it was, because the Bears played in the same element. So I'm never going to make that a reason or excuse for by any stretch. But came down to they just beat themselves, man. They really beat themselves. There was a lot of plays that were made that got called back because of the fact of the matter is there was either a holding call or a third and long and Justin Fields is sliding and they're hitting these guys. I understand. I kind of yelled at the refs, you know, the conditions or whatever, but then I quickly backed off of that. But nonetheless, you don't put yourself in a situation where you can make it 50-50. You know, that's what I'm saying to these guys. So ultimately, the 49ers beat themselves, and I say going into this season, I really believe that the 49ers are the only team that could beat the 49ers, to be honest with you. But they can't make those mistakes. You know, Trey Lance, I thought he played okay. A lot of – at the end of it, really, the game, the stats, if you look at the stats and you didn't watch the game, you're going to see that, okay, he was 13 for 28 or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the game, the ball was impossible to throw. Torrential downpours. That was at the end of the game. But in the crucial points of the game, there were some mistakes that were made by Trey Lance, by the offensive line, by the defensive line, by the secondary as well. So overall, they have to clean that up. If they clean that up, they'll be all right. So I'm upset because they lost, but I'm not calling it up an upset because the Bears took advantage of that situation.
Yeah, and uncharacteristic mistakes, K-Walk, for a Kyle Shanahan coach football team. That's just not something you see a whole lot of. Britt, K-Walk mentioned Trey Lance's numbers, 13 for 28, obviously made some mistakes. You know there's going to be a lot of buzz and talk about Trey Lance in the media. How do you feel about this loss, Britt? Do we need to be worrying about the 49ers, or is this just one of those week one things that didn't go well?
Worry about them. I want y'all to worry about them, please.
I think Jimmy G is here to get that call. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
No, please do. Please, by all means. Say that.
No.
Say it.
I kind of expected this, though. Trey Lance, if you look at his college career, he didn't play that many games. He came in, a couple years ago or so. He didn't play at all. So he's still a young quarterback that needs to develop and clearly needs some work. Just like Jalen Hurts was last year, just like Justin Fields, and I still think Justin Fields needs to develop more. Same thing with Jalen Hurts going back to him. Trey Lance is a young guy. It's certain things he does not understand just yet. I think the elements did have played some on this game because it played a big part on both sides. But the key thing that K-Walk mentioned was the penalties. 12 penalties for 99 yards. That's a lot.
5 yards.
That
yeah.
is a
yeah.
lot.
That's giving
that's
up a touchdown,
a
baby.
Lot. Yes. Plus, they had two turnovers. I don't know why I can't speak to that. But plus, they had
mm-hmm.
two turnovers on top of that.
One by
so
Debo,
again,
uncharacteristic,
think,
yeah.
Exactly. So I think it's a week one thing, but I think also Trey Lance has to develop. But it's the 49ers. It's Kyle Shanahan. I trust them. I trust D'Amico Ryans as the defensive coordinator. They're going to get it together. There's no way if this was week five or week six, the Bears would probably get murdered by the 49ers. It's week one. Let the Bears have it. But the 49ers, they're going to come back.
Yeah, and I think one of the good things about the 49ers, I feel like they can win in a lot of different ways. Like, they don't have to just rely on one thing as a way to win. K-Walk, who do they have this weekend?
We got Seattle at 4 o'clock
okay.
On Sunday.
Mm-hmm. You expect them to
I think
get
you
out of there
got
with
that.
A win?
You know what, Jay? I looked at the weather, man. We got showers again, man. We got showers again. We got rain again. But, yeah, I do. I do, man. I think they're going to learn from this. I think they're going to get the same type of game because Geno Smith likes to run. He uses his legs a lot, just like Justin Fields did. And Justin Fields was – and let me give a shout-out to Justin Fields. Tremendous game by that young man. And I don't want to take anything away from what he did. He took advantage of what the 49ers couldn't do, and he led that team. So shout out to him first and foremost. But back to the question. Yeah, I think they can get it done, Jay. I just think they have to remain disciplined, eliminate the turnovers like Britt mentioned, but eliminate the penalties first and foremost, and just keep Geno Smith in the pocket for sure.
Hey, Britt, Geno said they wrote me off, but I didn't write back. Can Geno pull it off again this weekend?
And Geno was talking some crap right now. That's all. He's feeling himself. He's feeling himself. Look, I always thought he just didn't get the opportunities that a lot of
right.
other quarterbacks and quarterbacks got. So I do believe he does have some talent. But when it comes to, to me, he's in the middle of the pack quarterback. No. Maybe you shouldn't got it wrote off, but you at least should have got a slight little, note or text. How about a text? A little text. No, but I think for me, another thing to me that the Seahawks are going to be missing, which is big to me, one of their best players outside of DK Metcalf, Jamal Adams is out. He got hurt last game.
Yeah, for the
He's
season.
On IR
for the
now.
Season.
So I think,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so I think that's going to be a huge
great point,
piece then. For that defense. And this would be a great opportunity for the 49ers to get back on track.
Great call,
yeah, I'm with you guys. I expect the 49ers to get back on track, win this game. I just don't see them being 0-2, so they really need to get this game done. All right,
and,
guys.
And if they do lose, please, I'm going to be on watch, so please just check in on me if they do happen to lose. I really mean that. Please check on me.
Britt, we'll check on him, but we know he's not going to text back if the 49ers
he's
lose.
He's not
going to
respond.
But we will check on him.
Y'all know how I do. I'm glad y'all know how I do. Thank you.
Jay. He going to treat us like an ex treat, when somebody break up. I'm not talking to you until next week when we get
yep.
a win. So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you won't get nothing.
All right. Hey, one of the most impressive wins of the weekend I thought was by the Pittsburgh Steelers, beating Cincinnati in overtime. Obviously, we know the kind of year
yeah.
that Cincinnati had last year. Pittsburgh's tough, man. They play a tough,
yeah.
brand, well-coached football team. They
yeah.
did lose T.J. Watt. He's going to be out for at least 6 weeks. Najee
yeah.
Harris struggling with a foot injury that kind of bothered him a little bit in the preseason as well. How do you think this is going to affect Pittsburgh, Britt? Do you see them continuing, or are these injuries going to be too much to overcome?
I can't remember who their next game is. But I think it's going to hurt them. It's definitely going to take a toll on them. T.J. Watt is their best defensive player. He was defensive player of the year last year, I believe, on the verge of becoming defensive player. In the first game, he was playing lights out before he got injured.
Yeah.
And Najee Harris, losing him, to me, he's one of the best players on that off ball, and he helps like a quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, a lot. He takes a lot of pressure off that quarterback position. I think this is going to hurt a lot. I know they still have linebacker Devin Bush. I know they still have Micah, the safety Micah Minka Fitz Fitzpatrick, who I think is
Monster.
A stout safety in the league.
Monster.
Yeah, great safety. But I still think T.J. Watt is the one that gets to that quarterback and puts so much pressure. So the safety is like Minka Fitzpatrick to go ahead and pick that ball off. So I think this is going to hurt him. It's going to hurt him big time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, because not only is he a great player, but he feels like the heart and soul of that defense. So when you lose a guy like that, yeah, you're losing the production. You're also losing the leadership, the emotion, all those kinds of things. But I think you're right. It's going to be a lot to overcome. But K-Walk, what say you?
Yeah, I mean, just to piggyback on a lot of what Britt said is that, I mean, when you lose T.J. Watt, a defensive player of the year, that's saying a lot. And then you lose Najee Harris as well. But when you look at this team and the way that they're able to persevere, there's one common denominator, and that's Mike Tomlin. He always seems to be able to get these guys to rise to the occasion, to circle the wagons, you know, whatever cliche you want to use there. And especially Mitch Trubisky coming out and playing, you know, as well as he did on Sunday. They do have the Patriots right on Sunday at 1 o'clock. But this is going to be an interesting. Yeah, exactly. So this is going to be one of those games. I think it's going to be close because we mentioned those two guys being out. Anytime you lose your best, you know, defensive player, especially pass rusher and defensive player of the year, and you lose a key piece in your running game, that's generally what a championship teams like to do. You know, you play defense, run the ball, control the clock. When you don't have two key pieces in that equation, if you will, it's going to be tough. But I do like the Pittsburgh Steelers winning this game, though. A close one, though, 21-20. I know they had a tough one in Cincinnati, but I do like them, you know, getting it done. And I do like Fitzpatrick is going to make it tough for Mac Jones. For sure, but I do like the Pittsburgh Steelers for them. But yeah, Mike Tomlin, man, I know we get a lot of praise, but I don't think he gets enough. A lot is not enough for me as far as Mike Tomlin's praise goes.
Yeah, and guys, we talked about a lot of games. There were some things we could have predicted, some things that kind of surprised us. But Britt, if you look at Week One as a whole, what was your biggest surprise? Something that happened that. A game, whatever it was, that was completely unexpected. What was your biggest surprise coming out of Week One?
The Dallas offense. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. They ain't surprised me at all. They gave me exactly what I expected. Come on. No. What really surprised me, the Bengals. I know we just talked about the Steelers and the Bengals. Quarterback Joe Burrow, 4 interceptions and a fumble. 5 total turnovers just from the quarterback position alone. I don't know. I thought the Bengals, you know, got a little bit better along that offensive line, but after watching that game, it looked like it got no better than what it were last year. And I don't know if they're going to be able to get lucky this year. That's why I said I know they're a good team. I know they have Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and so forth, but I don't think they'll with the Bills, the Chiefs and all that getting better on the defensive side, I don't think they're going to get, but so far, if they do not shore up that offensive line. So, to me, that was one of the biggest surprises, Joe Burrow and the way he played that game.
Yeah, that's a great point, Britt, about that offensive line, too. And history. History has not been kind to the Super Bowl loser. So, they've got that going against them as well. But, K-Walk, what say you? Biggest surprise of Week One?
Yeah, I think that the biggest surprise, the outcome of the game, I mean, as far as who won the game wasn't a big surprise, but the way that they won the game, and I'm talking about the Bills and the Rams game, I think the way that the Bills just dominated the Rams was really surprising. I really expected that to be, you know, a Super Bowl preview. A lot of people did had that as well, but I just thought it would be closer, more competitive. But it just came out and seemed – I know the Bills are a good team, don't get me wrong, but I really thought the Rams would fare a lot better and we would see a lot better, game for sure. It just seemed like Matt Stafford was out of his comfort level. Cooper Kupp was still doing his thing. He caught his 13 passes, whatever the case may be. But not to get Cam Akers, the absence of Cam Akers surprised me as well, and him not being in that running game. Also, Allen Robinson – I think he had two targets only. And I think that if you're looking to repeat, as they want to, as they say, they want to run it back, you got to get those two guys in the mix for sure, having Cam Akers run the ball and having Allen Robinson run the catch, have more targets as well. So I think the biggest surprise for me is just the way that the Bills dominated the Rams.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, too. The Bills were impressive, man. I was surprised, too, at just how physically dominating they were. I think for me, it's Seattle. I thought Russell Wilson was going to go back in there and show everybody what they were missing. I thought he was going to light them up, and Denver was going to get out of there with a win, and Seattle was having none of it. So you got to give Geno Smith a ton of credit. That might be the best game he's played in his life, and what a great stage to do it on. So for me, it was definitely Seattle.
Real quick, because I just thought about this, you know, with K-Walk talking about the Bills versus the Rams. So the I don't know if he was the wide receiver coach or offensive coordinator, is now the head coach of the Vikings. So I don't know if that could be what partly took toll on what's going on with the Rams, because he helped Cooper Kupp get open so much. Yes. So they shifted over to the Vikings, and that's one of the reasons why Justin Jefferson is going lights out right now. So I don't know if that's going to be a tough hit on the Rams, but we'll see.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Britt, because so often people just look at the head coach and they don't really realize the work that the offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators and skill position coaches are really doing behind the scenes. So when you lose a guy like that, you're 100% right. It's going to impact your team in a big way. So, yeah, that is a really spot on point. All right, guys, we only got a couple minutes. You know how much I love college football, so I just want to squeeze in a little bit of college football talk here. Britt, I know you guys talked about this a little bit on She Knows Sports last night, but Alabama and Texas – I was going to ask about the future of Alabama, but I want to know if you think the refs screwed Texas in that game. There were definitely some questionable calls. Did Texas get a raw deal in that game, Britt?
Look, I know a lot of people like, no, specifically UK walk, like, no, the refs didn't mess the game up. But me, I think so, only because momentum shifts. You know, to me, it's all about, you know, football a lot of times is all about momentum. You know, especially when they didn't call a safety. To me, it wasn't a safety. It wasn't a fumble. It wasn't – but the problem is they called roughing the passer. It wasn't roughing the passer. To me, it was an incomplete pass that should have been a fourth down. They would have kicked it to Texas. Texas would have had great field position to go ahead and do something with the ball, potentially getting a field goal or a touchdown, and that changes things. There's a possibility Texas could have took that game. But also, the missed call on the quarterback, Texas' first-string quarterback, he took a rough hit, and they didn't call anything. So it was a lot of missed calls by the refs that could have went Texas' way. But then you made a call that wasn't correct to me. That's one of the biggest call of the games. We call roughing the passer. And to me, that just changed the whole dynamic of the game. So it changed the momentum. So my answer, yes, the refs messed up. But, but yeah, that was a rough one. And, no, I don't think the way they look, the way Alabama looked that last game, they making me nervous. I'm not a Roll Tide fan, thank God. I'm Ohio State fan. But they making a lot of Alabama fans nervous.
Yeah, they just don't quite look like Alabama to me. But, Britt, I'm with you. Like, I told K-Walk this the other day. Like, I'm not a refs blew it for us. Like, I hate when people try to blame games on the refs. Yeah. But I do think there were some critical calls in that game that went against Texas, like the pass interference call in the end zone that wasn't called. There was a face mask on, like, the five-yard line that was not called. Both of those things could have led to Texas touchdowns instead of field goals. And then on that Bryce Young scramble at the end of the game, it was a pretty obvious holding call by the offensive tackle that got Bryce Young around the corner. Now, give him credit. He did escape the guy that tried to sack him. He ducked under him. That was nice. But his lineman was holding, and that was not called either. So, I don't want to blame it on the refs, but I certainly think the refs did not help Texas in any way, shape, or form in that game. But, man, K-Walk, what say you? I think I know where you're going with this, but what say you about the officiating?
Yeah, Jay, you know how I feel about the officiating. I mean, it's part of the game. You know, there's calls that are missed. There are tackles that are missed. There are drop passes that aren't – I mean, there are passes that aren't caught. I mean, it's part of the game. You can sit there and say that. And literally, if you watch the offensive line every single play, and there you can literally call holding on every single play. I mean, you really could. You know, they called holding, you know, at one point, but they didn't call it on that play. Then you come back and dissect it because a big play – did happen on that. And I can stand on the argument as well. There was one play early in the game when Kool-Aid interfered with the guy. They didn't call it. But then he came back later on in the game where he didn't interfere with them, and they did call it. So it's a wash there. So, I get it. All that happened, I got it. You know, listen, Nebraska had the ball. They went up with a minute and 29 seconds left to go. All right? They had the – Alabama had – yeah. Texas had the no. Texas went up. Texas went up, and it was 1 minute and 29 seconds to go. Alabama had the ball, so all they had to do was stop them. If they thought that they were that good, they had the opportunity to do it. I just think that Alabama, and I'm going to say this, ladies and gentlemen, Alabama, they earned those nine calls. They earned those nine calls. I'm sorry, they earned them. They earned them. I'm saying it. I'm on a limb, but say they earned those nine calls.
Look, I'm not saying this is what he did, but I think Nick Saban opened up his wallet that day. He had to open up his wallet because it was way too many
If you mean by his wallet, meaning his mouth, maybe his mouth. But I think they earned it.
The money that comes out his wallet to that referee committee or something.
I'm not gonna go that far.
If it's one, two, okay, missed calls, fine, or, you know, ref mess up every so often. But it was just a pile. Like, you got a pile of things in this game that occurred that went to me, Alabama took advantage, went on Alabama's side, and it just didn't make sense. And I think that really changed the momentum to Alabama because if they – just one call, just one. If the refs would have made just one of those calls right, I think Texas would have won this game. Just one.
Let me ask you this question, Brett. Did any of those penalties happen with a minute and 29 seconds to go when Nebraska was up? Was any penalty called against Nebraska?
Well, no, because I don't think Nebraska played
this game. They had their chance, and the refs had no influence. So it came down to it. All of it came back to it. It was even. So, listen, Nebraska, you stop them with a minute and 29 seconds to go, you win this game. And the refs had no influence one way or the other in that. So I'm not buying it. But they did earn it.
But you know how momentum goes. You know, what can happen earlier in a game can eventually impact later on in the game, and we done seen that time and time again, you know. So, but, I mean, look, Alabama won, and it is what it is at this point.
I'm
Ohio State.
At the end of the day,
we won, so it is.
I think at the end of the day, both things can be true. I do think the refs hurt Texas, but they still had a chance to win. If you make that tackle on Bryce Young, the game's over. So they still had a chance to win. Last question about this, just a hypothetical. Britt, if Texas's quarterback doesn't get hurt, because he was lighting Alabama up in the first quarter, if he doesn't get hurt, does Texas get out of there with a win?
I think so, because it was between him and the receiver Worthy. They couldn't stop that. They could not stop that connection right there. I think Worthy would have went for over 100 yards that game. They were killing it. So I think Texas would have won that game if he didn't get hurt. Yes.
Okay, Walk, I know it's a hypothetical, you know, hindsight 2020, all that kind of stuff. But if he stayed healthy, K-Walk, does Texas get out of there with a win?
CJ, you know how I feel about ifs, man. You always say, if my grandmother had a mustache, she'd be my grandfather. So it's hard. It's hard for me to say that, Jay, but I get where you're coming from in this situation. So I'm going to say, if they continue to do what they did in the first half or the first quarter with Worthy, like Brittany mentioned, I think it would have definitely been a different outcome in the game. So, yes, to answer the question, I think it would have been a different outcome for sure.
Yeah, I don't think they scored a touchdown after he got hurt.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, I kind of feel like the same way.
You can literally see the talent drop off. When that second quarterback came in, it was a huge talent drop off, and you could tell the difference.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And K-Walk, I mean, after that comment, I think we got to wrap it up after that one, man. So, all right, guys.
So for all the grandmoms who really do got mustaches, what you say about this? You know some grandmoms out here. We love you, though. We love grandmoms.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, guys. Great stuff. Another great weekend of football coming. But, Britt, let the people know where they can find you on social media and tell us what you're looking forward to this weekend.
You can find me IG, TikTok. I was going to say Instagram. That is IG. IG, TikTok, and Twitter at Brittany Monique. Facebook at Brittany Jones. This weekend, football. It's all about college football, NFL, and, of course, my Eagles play on Monday night. So I'm really excited about that. So that's what I'll be focused on this weekend.
Yeah, yeah, same with me. You can find me on IG, Twitter, and TikTok at Jason Talk Sports. Football all weekend. My Nittany Lions, we got a tough one tomorrow.
Ooh,
we're going into Auburn, tough place to play. So I'm just hoping we can get out of there with a win. K-Walk, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to be dialed in. You guys already know. I'm going to be dialed into to college football tonight with Florida State and Louisville playing right now, and then other games as well for sure Saturday. Looking forward to seeing my Florida Gators can bounce back tomorrow against South Florida and, of course, the NFL on Sunday for sure. On as far as where you can catch me on the social media, Instagram, Kevin.Walker142. Twitter, at KevinWalker142. TikTok, still working on that, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with me, though. At KevinWalker72 and Facebook, Kevin Walker.
All right, good stuff, good stuff. All right, guys, we appreciate you listening to The Shoot Around. Check us out on YouTube, The Shoot Around BJK. Like, subscribe, share. We're going to keep the content coming. And for Brittany Jones and Kevin Walker, I'm Jason Collins. We'll see you back here next Friday at 7 p.m.
And you don't stop, keep it on, keep it on, keep it on. You don't stop, keep it on, keep it on. Where the party at?
Back for the party. Let's take a little time and talk about it. What's going through your mind? It has to be shaking. Like ice in
never had it so good. Spring.